Greetings. Welcome to the first of 2014 edition of Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. Although clouds have prevented our admiration of night sky events lately, I'm still going to tell you what's up there beyond Earth's atmosphere. And not only just in the coming week, but some of the major anticipated events through this new year. So have pen and paper handy, and then mark your calendars. Gray days, starless nights, some new snow and warmer than usual temperatures. That's how 2014 has begun in the Upper Susitna Valley. We should have been enjoying one of the year's better meteor showers, the Quadrantids. They peaked at the end of last week, above the thick cloud cover. Then on Saturday, Earth was at perihelion. Not something to observe, just an astronomical fact. Since Earth, like all planets, orbits the Sun in an elliptical orbit, there is always a point at which it is closest to the Sun. The date usually falls on January 4th, near the Northern Hemisphere's midwinter. Perihelion was at 3 a.m. Saturday morning, Alaska time, but proximity to the Sun has nothing to do with the surface temperatures or the seasons. That's all about the 23.5 degree tilt of our spin axis, which is tipped relative to our orbital plane. Well, Jupiter is at opposition on Sunday, January 5th. Lots of people have been noticing brilliant Jupiter in the northeast after dark and above the northwestern horizon as morning twilight swells. The gas giant planet appears at its brightest right now since our two worlds are closest. Earth, you see, in its fast inside track, laps Jupiter about 12 times for each one of his full circuits around the Sun. And each time Earth slides into position right between Sun and Jupiter, Earth and Jupiter are then a bit closer than at any other time. And then Jupiter appears brightest in our sky. In this configuration, Jupiter is opposite the Sun, hence the term opposition. And being opposite, Jupiter rises at the time of sunset. Jupiter sets when the Sun rises. And since the Sun is up for a short time, Jupiter is up for a long time. The Sun's trajectory through the Upper Susitna sky is currently early January low. Jupiter's trajectory has an opposite behavior, traversing high in our sky, much like the midsummer sun. Now, isn't that interesting? Why, yes, Kathleen, it certainly is. And what's more, being at opposition means that Jupiter is in the midst of his retrograde loop. You really should pay close attention to where the gas giant is relative to the stars of Gemini. He recently crossed the imaginary line from Pollux, the more southerly of the twin stars, and that twin's ankle star. It was about a week ago that Jupiter, moving backwards, westward, crossed that imaginary line. Now he is between the twins, at about waist level, still heading westward. Watch this month and next as Jupiter heads towards the knees of Castor, the upper twin. Well, got binoculars? This is a great time to take a close look at Jupiter and spot his four biggest moons, called the Galilean moons, since they were first seen just over 400 years ago when Galileo turned his newly invented telescope toward the heavens. More about identifying Jupiter's moons in the next Stardate Susitna program. Well, the first quarter moon is Tuesday evening, Alaska time. Your calendar might put it on Wednesday the 8th, and it is for the lower 48, but the actual moment is before midnight here on Tuesday. The Sun is being active, shooting off coronal mass ejections. Ginormous sunspot number AR1944 near the Sun's equator is rotating toward the Earth-facing area, so stay alert for enhanced aurora forecasts, especially near the end of this week. 1944 has the potential to produce massive X-class solar flares, exactly what Alaskans should be able to expect from the current peak of this sunspot cycle, more aurora-producing active regions. And that's about it for this week. Now let's peer into the more distant future and see what Astro Wonders 2014 has in store for Alaskans. Surprises are always possible, like new comets and grand aurora displays, but I have in hand Guy Otwell's Astronomical Calendar 2014, which has a radically new format and will take some getting used to, but I found a number of events to look forward to. Let's start with the planets. Mercury is never easy to see, especially from the far north. We have a modest opportunity at the end of January to spot Mercury not long after sunset, and again in the evening sky toward the end of May, plus a morning apparition at the start of November. It's worth the effort because Mercury is so elusive. Being the innermost planet, he never strays far from the sun. Venus is not very cooperative this year. She moves from the evening to the morning sky this month, crossing above the sun this week Saturday. The geometry during spring mornings is not favorable. However, that being said, it is possible to see the fantastically bright Venus even during broad daylight. So in a month or more, you may see a bright spot in the morning twilight and know that that is the goddess of love. Mars. You can see the red planet now in the morning sky, and as the sun continues its eastward migration through the zodiac, it will leave Mars to rise higher sooner, with Earth finally catching up to the god of war in April. The opposition of Mars will be on April 8th. He'll be closer and brighter then. Mars does his retrograde loop in Virgo, a large southern constellation currently above our horizon in the wee hours of the morning. Mars's retrograde loop takes him back and forth above bright star Spica, so that'll be fun to watch now through spring and as long as we have dark nights. After summer, Mars will be heading toward the deep south, making him harder to see next winter. We've already talked about Jupiter at opposition this week, looping in Gemini. After the perpetual light of summer, the gas giant will be in Cancer, heading toward Leo. And Saturn, the most distant of the naked eye planets, what's he up to this year? Saturn moves slowly through the zodiac, spending an average of about 2.5 years in each constellation. This year and into the next, Saturn will be in southerly Libra, reaching opposition as nighttime is getting thinner during mid-May. In future years, Saturn will be even further south, making him harder to see for, gosh, about a decade. This is not so much of a problem in the lower latitudes, but it does add a sense of urgency for enjoying Saturn between now and the summer of 2014. So that's the planet roundup for this year. What about comets? No bright comets anticipated. One or two that may be visible through binoculars, but one just never knows if a new bright comet may show up unexpectedly. There are a number of annual meteor showers guaranteed to provide a show, weather permitting. The moon will be a problem for the Perseids and a lesser hindrance for the Geminid meteor shower, and not much is anticipated for the Leonids this year. And yet, sporadic meteors and brilliant fireballs can happen any time. Well, I'm looking at Mr. Otwell's 24 maps showing who gets to see occultations this year. None cross our region. Humph. Still, lunar cycles are fun to watch, with the moon visiting bright planets and bright stars each month, even if he doesn't occult or pass right in front of them. The first day of the new year coincided with the new moon. Thank you, Francis. So there will be no blue moons this year. A year that starts with a thick waxing crescent through a full moon will likely have two full moons in one calendar month. Do the math yourself. 29.5 days per lunar cycle. 7 of our months have 21 days. 4 months have 30 days. And 1 month has 28 days. Therefore, the year has 11 days more than 12 full lunar cycles. And therefore, to have 2 full moons in 1 month, the January full moon has to happen within 11 days of New Year's Day. January 1st had a new moon. Full moon comes 14 or 15 days later, longer than the 11-day limit. Therefore, no month in 2014 will have 2 full moons, which is the common and fairly modern definition of a blue moon. What about eclipses? Yep, In April, the full moon will rise while inside the Earth's shadow. Mark your calendar for April 14th. Mid-eclipse will be shortly before midnight Alaska time. Then we'll see an even better, higher and longer total lunar eclipse in the wee hours of October 8th. But wait, that's not all. Alaska is also in position for a partial solar eclipse, which will be visible to some degree over the entire continent, except the southeastern states and much of Mexico. Definitely hope for clear skies midday on October 23rd. Let's see, October 23rd is a Thursday, so I'll probably have safe viewing methods set up at the Talkeetna Elementary School and try to get you all to have your eclipse shades handy. What fun! And I think that's about it. Sounds like 2014 will be a good astro year. Maybe you will resolve to become more familiar with the ancient and dynamic night sky. No doubt I've missed something in this year's calendar. Hopefully we'll meet here on KTNA most every Sunday and Monday during the months with darkness, so I can alert you to all the various reasons why you should keep looking up.